before it collapsed on top of Richter.
Ah! Ah!
Richter grunted, attempting to push the wolf's body off of himself. Instead, he settled for rolling it to the side. Then, he just let his head fall back to the forest floor. He took several deep, frantic breaths as he willed his heart to stop beating so wildly. Rabid Forest Wolf, level 4, has died. You receive 40, base 32, experience points. Laying on his back, he stared up at the green canopy above him. Small splotches of blue could be seen through the leaves. He was elated.
Woo!
He shouted, punching his fist into the air. Turning his head to the right, he saw Sion looking at him quizzically.
What are you doing? The sprite asked.
I'm celebrating! Where were you during the fight?
This is your quest, not mine. And it is clear that you are celebrating. And meant, why are you celebrating when those other wolves are right over there?
Sion asked, pointing to Richter's left. Slowly turning his head to the left, he saw two rabid wolves with their teeth bared not 15 feet away. Before he could move, the wolves were on him, and his world narrowed to consist only of fangs, blood, and above all, pain. All color faded from his vision as his remaining eye stared up at a wolf's mouth closing around his face, and then all was black.
You have died.
A blur of colors and the sensation of great speed, complicated by a lack of all emotion, until he felt as if he was falling from a great height with a heart-clenching stop. A horrid scream ripped itself from Richter's throat.
No! Please! Stop! Please!
His arms flailing around, his head whipped back and forth, wildly searching for the wolves. After a few frantic seconds, he realized he was back in the hidden glen. His conscious mind began to reconcile the subconscious knowledge he already possessed. He had died. The wolves had killed him. Closing his eyes, he curled up onto his side and cried. There was nothing graceful or dignified about it. His body was immobilized by great, racking sobs. They had been tearing at him. They had torn off a piece of his chest before he died. He had seen. That damn wolf had been chewing on a piece of him. The horror of it washed over Richter. He relived the cold feeling he had experienced at the moment of his death. He drowned in the memory of helplessness as the wolf's teeth had torn and ripped at his tender flesh. The horrors hammered at his psyche. His mental torture physically manifested in his inability to leave the fetal position. As soon as he came to the end of his nightmarish remembrance, the sequence started again from the beginning. He relived the experience over and over, not able to break free of the hellish loop. As his mind continued to torture him, however, another emotion rose. As he thought about the experience and the pain, he began to feel something else besides horror. It started as the kernel of a feeling, barely noticeable, inconsequential even, but it grew. After a while, he recognized the emotion. He felt anger. No, that wasn't the right word. He felt rage. He raged at the wolves for hurting him. He raged at Sion for not helping him. More, though, he raged at himself for being helpless and afraid, not just in the past moments or the past day, but instead at feeling just a bit afraid his entire life, of not having any true control over his life's direction, and instead bowing time and again to the demands of society, the demands of his family, or the ridiculous demands he made of himself fueled by reality TV and pop culture. He felt the need to take control of his own life, to face any issue head-on and no longer escape. He felt the need for power. Richter broke the loop of pain he had been reliving and stood, a fierce determination in his eyes. This was not about denying that something horrible had happened. That would have been just another form of escape. This was about accepting the realities of his life, and despite the numerous blows of fate, standing tall. You have proven yourself to be resolute. The choices in your life led you to a critical point. A nexus of opportunities were laid before you, many leading to disaster.
You have chosen a finer path. The experiences of your entire life have culminated in this one moment. You have decided not to kneel, but to stand. Not to beg, but to take. Not to wait, but to forge ahead. Be true to yourself to find your specific power. Bonus to mental resistance, 5%. Bonus to spiritual resistance, 5%.
Staring at the message across his field of view, he blinked in surprise. He had not expected the universe to reward him for his own personal journey, but he would take it. After a fashion, it made sense. While he could increase his speed, strength, and skills, he would ultimately be the same person, unless he decided to change within. With a firm twist to his lips, Richter smiled. It was time to get back to work. The phantom pains of the wolf attack still plagued him somewhat, but they had lost much of their power. They were only illusions. They would not deter him. What was real was the air in his lungs, the power in his limbs, and the strength of his will. Backlit by the sun shining down into the glade, Richter took a step forward to go and finish what he had started. It was in that moment of true purpose that he looked down and realized he was completely naked.
Universe, you're a dick.
Chapter 5, Day 3, Sanren 23, 15368 ABG.
Making peace with the fact that it was most likely not going to be fun running through a forest with no clothes, he decided to check his status.
Name, Richter, age 24, level 2, 0%, health 100, mana 100, stamina 100. Strength, 10. Agility, 10. Dexterity, 10. Constitution, 10. Endurance, 10. Intelligence, 10. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 10. Luck, 10. Abilities, limitless. Gift of tongues. Skills, archery, level 2, 0% to next level, 100% affinity. Small blades, level 1, 0% to next level, 100% affinity. Marks, none. Resistances, mental, 5%. Spiritual, 5%. Race, human. Chaos seed. Reputation, level 1. Who are you again? Alignment, neutral. Languages, common. Sprite. He had expected the loss in experience, but the loss in skill progression was a bit of a shock. Still, at his low level, it was not much of a setback. Skills were always harder to level up at high levels, though, and a loss in the future might truly hurt. If he remembered correctly, neither skill had been close to leveling when he died. Maybe if his progression in either skill had been greater, he wouldn't have gone all the way back to zero. Richter knew that was possibly a vain hope, but it still comforted him. Either way, it was clear now that dying had real consequences. The real question facing him now was where to place his unused points. He had no idea what he was going to need in this wide world. The lack of professions was a complete game-changer. To be specific, Zetrix had said that professions were just very different and hard to obtain. That information was next to useless at this point, offering no guidance at all. Dismissing it from his mind, Richter focused on what he did know. He decided that he needed greater speed to run and dodge if he was going to hunt the wolves. He placed all 6 unused points in agility. Finally, he decided to limit some of his prompts. The combat and individual experience notifications were a distraction he could live without. Silently vowing to make up for his lost progression, he sipped from the pool of clarity and then took off at a fast jog from the glen. As he made his way to the river, the small plants and stones hurt his feet, but not as much as he would have thought. Heartened, he increased his pace to a run, making his way upriver. He quickly learned what Athenian runners must have known thousands of years before. A man running with no clothes was not exactly secure in a key area. He took back all of the times he wished sports bras had not been invented. Those poor girls must really hurt after a while. He amended his thought to, well, let's be honest, almost all the times. The sight of Sophia doing hurdles was a treasured memory. Focusing on the task at hand, he continued running forward, his new body seemingly up to the task of moving at high speed for several miles before running out of steam.
He pushed himself until his breath grew ragged and sweat flowed in rivulets down his body. Then he pushed more. He ran until his stamina bar came perilously close to zero, and fainting seemed a real possibility. He would slow to a fast walk while it slowly built back up, but at 50% would take off again. He had run many miles and was nearing the end of his stamina for at least the 10th time when he heard melodic voices above him.
"Quick! Shoot before he gets any closer!"
Throwing his hands up, he said, "Stop! I'm Richter and have been sent by the Hearth Mother. I am approaching the Hearth Tree to fulfill the quest she posed to me. I will kill the wolves." After he finished speaking, he realized that without trying, his mouth had been forming the musical language of the sprites. There was a moment of silence until he heard a quiet,
"Proceed."
Though he couldn't see them as he walked forward, he knew he was being shadowed by the sprites. Word of his approach would likely make its way ahead of him, but he still slowed to a jog so as not to alarm the wary sprites. Checking his status, he saw that his agility had increased by +1 due to his hours of running. After proceeding for a while through the forest, he was finally rewarded with the sight of the Hearth Tree. As he approached the tall, golden grass, the forms of Hisako, Sion, and 4 other bowmen greeted him. Hisako looked upon him with a wary expression upon her face, while Sion stared at him with open surprise and distaste.
"What are you and why have you returned?"
she asked.
"I know that the man who accompanied my son fell. Are you the same being?"
Walking forward, Richter did not answer, but instead moved until he stood directly in front of Sion. With the flat of his hand, Richter slapped him across the face. The sprite fell to the ground, and Richter fell on top of him, preparing to strike him again. He heard the creaking of drawn bows, and then the sharp command of the Hearth Mother,
"Cease this now!"
Richter felt his body seize into immobility, while Sion cursed beneath him, staring into his face with a fury that matched his own. Sion stood and drew a long, needle-like rapier from his sword belt. The sprite drew his arm back to drive it into Richter's eye until Hisako spoke again.
"I said cease. Now what is the meaning of this? What exactly do you remember?"
Richter, finding he could move and speak again, collapsed to the ground as she ended his paralysis. Quickly standing, he pointed at Sion and spat out the words,
"I remember everything. He let me be torn apart and eaten by the wolves while he just watched."
Looking sharply at Sion, Hisako asked,
"Is this true?"
"The quest was his, not mine,"
he grumbled, not making eye contact with the Hearth Mother.
"Yet you knew that you were sent to help him, and thereby help our people to remove a dangerous threat. We will address this in a moment. My first question remains, Richter. Are you whole of mind? Do you feel any gaps in your memory?"
"I don't know what you mean. I am alive and I know who I am," he replied.
He had thought of what to tell the Hearth Mother during his run, but had not come to any clear conclusion. Upon seeing her, he decided to speak from strength.
"I will always come back to finish my tasks and repay my debts," he added, looking over at Sion, who glared back. "Now why do you keep asking about my memory?"
Returning his gaze to Hisako, Richter saw that her face had resolved into decision.
"The wood sprites of Nadria honor their commitments. We entered into a pact with you when you agreed to the quest, and my people have not aided you as they should have."
With a snap in her sweet voice, she said,
"Sion, bring Richter his items. Now."
The male sprite was smart enough not to argue with the Hearth Mother after hearing the steel in her voice. He melded silently back into the grass and was moving quickly if the disturbance in the grass Richter noticed was any indication.
"Your clothes were savaged and bloodied. Do not be concerned about that. We will give you greater protection than those rags ever provided in recompense for Sion's behavior. I apologize for his part in the pain that you have suffered, and yet still I ask that you do not judge him too harshly. He has no love for humans, it is true, but his heart is stalwart, and he will stay true to a friend through death. In the meantime, please accept these gifts."
As she finished speaking, she closed her eyes and folded her hands as if in prayer. A green glow once again surrounded her, but much more intense than when she summoned the arrows. It grew in strength until it flared brilliantly. When his vision cleared from the sunspots, He found items in front of him. You have received chest plate of the wood sprite, defense +7, type light armor, durability 40 of 40, item class uncommon, quality above average, weight 5.8 kilograms, increased concealment in woods +5. You have received reinforced pants of the wood sprite, defense +5, type light armor, durability 30 of 30, item class uncommon, quality above average, weight 3.4 kilograms, increased concealment in woods +4. You have received shoes of the wood sprite, defense +4, durability 25 of 25, item class uncommon, quality above average, weight 1.2 kilograms, type light armor, increased silence while walking +10. You have received bracers of the wood sprite, defense +6, weight 3.4 kilograms, durability 30 of 30, item class uncommon, quality above average, type light armor, dexterity +3. Blinking in surprise, he stared at the hearth mother. Losing the edge in her voice, she simply smiled in understanding.
Please accept these gifts in the open spirit of reconciliation with which they are being given. I must warn you of the danger to your mind I referenced earlier, however. I am familiar with the immortal rebirth of higher-level beings, though I have not heard of humans with this ability outside of the mightiest mages. While your rebirth will preserve you for the most part, it is still not without danger. You will most likely be reborn in all but the most extreme conditions, but each time you die, there is a chance you may lose your memories in addition to experience and skills. There is no specific rule as to when this happens. It is a serious reality which immortals must face. I have heard that the greater the purpose you have in the life you live, the greater the chance you will come back to yourself, but I do not know for certain. If you are frivolous with your safety, you may face an eternity where you do not remember those who love you or even your own name. A living hell of forgotten deeds, a cage of half-remembered relationships which will keep you trapped in an unending solitude. Live well, and may these gifts protect you and heal the damage between yourself and my people.
Hearing her words, Richter was indeed moved by her generosity and felt much of his anger drain away. The discovery that he could lose his sense of self upon death, however, was truly frightening. As he started to equip his new armor, Sion came back with his old equipment in a brown sack, minus his clothing, which Richter assumed was now only bloody strips and wolf scat. He dropped the items on the ground in front of Richter. Looking at Richter, Hisako asked,
"Will you finish the quest which you started? We will allow you to travel the forest either way, but this problem could well make the entire region unsafe before long."
You have been offered the opportunity to cancel the quest Cleanse the Forest 1. The Hearth Mother believes Sion has not acted honorably. As such, you will be allowed to hunt and travel on the lands of the Wood Sprites without aggression from them whether you finish your quest or not. Do you wish to cancel? Yes or no?
"I finish what I start," Richter replied. "I will kill the wolves, but you need to know that I don't think it will solve the problem. The wolves I fought were driven mad with disease. They were rabid. If we don't stop the source of infection, these woods will be rampant with rabid wolves, bears, and other predators."
"Do you accept the responsibility to root out this evil at its source?"
she asked. You have unlocked the quest Cleanse the Forest 2. It is clear now that some sickness has befallen the animals of the Forest of Nadria. Killing a few rabid animals will not correct this problem. You have been tasked by Hisako to figure out what is making the animals rabid. Reward: increased regard from the wood sprites. Possible gifts from the wood sprites. Do you accept, yes or no? Richter had assumed that his quest was a chain when he saw the Roman numeral 1 after the initial quest. He wouldn't stop now.
"I will," Richter replied steadily.
Looking back to the newly returned sprite, Hisako's eyes hardened again somewhat.
"I cannot force acceptance into your heart, Sion. I know well why you might welcome the death of any human. This man is only responsible for the actions and drives of his own heart, however, not the evils of his entire race. I will not force you to accompany him again, but I encourage you to work towards clearing this dark mark from your life. Watching another in pain without offering aid is not our way. What will you do?"
A complex series of emotions worked its way across Sion's face, but not much time elapsed before he answered,
I serve the spirit of the forest,
and he moved to stand beside Richter. Sion the Wood Sprite has become your companion. Companions will stay with you only as long as your goals align. Looking over the both of them, the Hearth Mother sent them off with,
May the forest shade you.
Chapter 6, Day 3, Sanren 23, 15,368 ABG. The two of them walked through the forest, both wrapped in silence as they dealt with their own personal demons. As they moved forward to the last place the wolves had been seen, intending to pick up their trail, Richter noticed a small icon along the left side of his vision with Sion's face. Focusing on it, a translucent window popped up. Name, Sion. Age, 34. Level, 7. 47% to next level. Health, 160. Mana, 194. Stamina, 120. Strength, 17. Agility, 18. Dexterity, 44. Constitution, 16. Endurance, 12. Intelligence, 15. Wisdom, 13. Charisma, 9. Luck, 12. Abilities, Woodcraft, Forest Concealment. Skills, Herb Lore, level 10, 3% to next level, 64% affinity. Alchemy, level 3, 14% to next level, 88% affinity. Archery, level 41, 71% to next level, 74% affinity. Imbue Arrow, level 28, 45% to next level, 88% affinity. Focus, level 25, 45% to next level, 82% affinity. Tracking, level 12, 37% to next level, 77% affinity. Small Blades, level 18, 56% to next level, 73% affinity. Light Armor, level 25, 64% to next level, 82% affinity. Marks, none. Resistances, Life, 10%. Earth, 10%. Light, 10%. Race, Wood Sprite. Reputation, level 1. Who are you again? Alignment, plus 2. Languages, Sprite, Common. Interesting. Now that they were companions, Richter could see Sion's status page. He wasn't sure what else being a companion meant, but he was sure the information would reveal itself in time. Most of the skills seemed self-explanatory. He had received the light armor skill himself after he had donned the wood sprite armor. Sion's advanced archery would most likely be invaluable. Richter was also extremely interested in the imbue arrow skill, whatever that was. Focusing upon the skill brought up no further information. Resolving to ask the sprite about it later, Richter continued on. They walked through the forest as the sun moved across the sky. When it began to approach the horizon, Sion stopped and examined an old spore on the ground. Making eye contact briefly, he motioned and then led Richter deeper into the forest, leaving the river for the first time. After moving for only 10 minutes, they heard snuffling and growling noises up ahead. Slowly making their way through the trees, they climbed a hill and discovered what looked like a small cave opening. In front of it were 3 wolves. The largest was sleeping, while the other 2 fought over a bone with a few scraps of meat upon it. You have found new cave. Reacting to some unknown stimulus, the larger wolf looked up and stared in their direction. Richter froze, his heart beating wildly as he prepared to fight, but the wolf simply continued to scan the woods before laying its head back down. The concealment properties of his new armor seemed to be coming in handy. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Stealth. Use your surroundings to avoid detection. Attacks made while stealthed can cause extra damage. Huh. Richter had been wondering when this skill would show up. Back to business, though. The prompt had said it was a new cave. In the game, dungeons had been divided by age. New dungeons were less than 1 year old. The progression was new, young, seasoned, mature, old, time-worn, ancient, and primordial. After young, each stage was 10 times as old. 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, and so on. The age was how long the creatures had been there. It was usually a marker of the difficulty and loot that could be gained. It wasn't exact, though. A new cave inhabited by a grand lich would be more difficult than a seasoned cave filled with rats. Sion motioned for Richter to shoot one of the smaller wolves while he drew an arrow and aimed at the larger one. The sprite's arrow developed a blue aura and vibrated perceptibly, almost as if it wanted to shoot off the string of its own accord. Knocking his own arrow, Richter took aim at the closer of the two wolves. Easing his breathing, he waited for Sion, releasing his arrow only a moment after the sprite. The arrow streaked towards his target, hitting it broadside. The wolf collapsed to the ground. Hearing a faint boom, he looked for the larger wolf, but saw only a red mist hanging in the air. Turning quickly back, he saw the uninjured wolf darting towards him. Richter dropped his bow and drew his dagger just as it jumped towards him. Shoving his left bracer crossways into its mouth, he stabbed his blade toward the wolf's stomach. It sank its teeth into the bracer, closing its jaw with bruising force, but it was unable to penetrate the armor. Richter's dagger sank into the wolf's underside. He withdrew his blade and stabbed once, twice, three more times before it stopped trying to bite into him, and it fell limp to the ground. Its weight pulled him down as well, the wolf's jaws locked in death. As he pried the dead animal off of his arm, he saw Sion approach the first wolf he had shot, which was struggling to get to its feet, bloody froth on its muzzle. The arrow must have punctured its lung. Sion came up behind it and, quick as thought, slid his sword into its side. The wolf gave a soft exhale and lay still. Cleaning his sword on the wolf's pelt, Sion motioned for Richter to follow him into the cave. The sprite kept his blade held out in front of him. Richter walked behind the small man with his dagger at the ready. Just inside the mouth of the cave, they found the larger wolf. They stepped over the carcass, a crater-like hole in its side. This was clearly the result of Sion's first arrow. That blue aura was most likely the sprite's imbue arrow skill, Richter realized. Allowing a moment for their eyes to adjust, they saw the cave was shallow and held nothing else besides the discarded bones of the wolf's kills. Richter was turning to leave, but saw Sion walking up to a patch of black moss growing along the cave ceiling. Sion slowly ran his hand along the dark tendrils until it fell off in his hands.
"How did you do that?" Richter asked curiously. "I destroyed the plants that I tried to pick."
"It's my herb lore skill. I doubt someone as large and clumsy as you could master it."
"Try me," Richter said with barely constrained irritation. "Or are you still not going to give me your full support?"
A pregnant silence hung between the two men as they stood in the musty cave.
"Fine,"
the sprite said sharply. Walking to another patch of moss, Sion started running his hands along the lichen again, speaking softer now.
"You cannot simply take from nature and expect a positive result. You must connect with the life and energy in the plant. With practice, this becomes easier."
He kept moving his hand along this second patch of moss while talking.
"Once your energies are in sync, it is not you taking the herb from its place, but instead, you moving a new part of yourself."
The moss fell away from the wall. "There is no spoon. Got it," Richter mumbled. Walking over to a patch of moss deeper in the cave, he tried to see where he could grip it to peel it off. Placing his hand near a likely crevice, he tried to pull the moss away. "You have picked up an unknown plant. Due to a lack of herbalism, you have destroyed the plant. Why don't you try digging a ditch with those shovels at the end of your arms?" Gritting his teeth for the umpteenth time since coming to this world, his mood was not improved to hear the melodic yet condescending tone of the sprite.
"I said connect to the plant. Do not force it. Feel the energy inside of what you are trying to harvest."
Moving to another moss, Richter stopped himself from ripping it off the wall in frustration. Calming himself, he placed his hand on it. He slowly ran his fingers along the length as he had seen Sion do. He closed his eyes and focused on the sensation of the soft, wet plant under his fingertips. For 200 breaths, he stood there until he detected a faint echo. Strangely, it was more felt than heard. Immediately focusing upon it, he strained to detect it again. For another several minutes, he tried desperately to connect, but felt nothing. Stopping to think of another tact, he relaxed his mind, and in that moment, the echo was back again. Without focusing too hard this time, he willed himself to be open to the feeling. After a few moments, the moss simply felt more alive. Placing his hand at what he now somehow knew was the right spot, he pulled lightly, and the moss fell away from the cave wall into his hand. You have picked dark cave moss. You feel this moss might make you sick if you eat it. You have learned the skill herb lore. You can now find useful plants with greater ease, identify, and pick them.
Not bad, Sion said with a note of grudging respect.
Is this used to make poison? Richter asked.
As with most things in nature, it can be used to harm or heal, Sion said with his reserved air. Nature cannot be judged and does not fall into petty roles of right and wrong. But yes, dark moss can be used to make poison.
Can you teach me how to create it?
It requires the skill alchemy. Before seeing you learn herb lore so quickly, I would have said it was beyond you, but perhaps. Let us cleanse the forest first, and then I will try to teach you at the hearth tree. Now reach those other patches of dark moss along the ceiling, and we will continue our hunt.
Richter spent the next hour collecting moss. Each time he detected the resonance of life marginally faster. He was able to collect 4 more dark moss before the cave was picked clean. The sun was almost setting when they exited the cave. Knowing they could not track effectively in the dark, Sion built a fire as Richter dragged the wolves' bodies several hundred yards away. Neither of them wanted to attract more predators overnight. Coming back, he found Sion already sitting in front of the fire. Agreeing to keep watch second, Richter lay down to rest. The night passed without incident. In the morning, Sion examined the surrounding area, quickly finding the trail that the wolves had taken to arrive at the cave. Again, the two companions moved upriver. Looking at the useless pelts of the rabid wolves, Richter shook his head in distaste at the waste of life. Reaffirming his resolve to fix this problem, he set out after the sprite. He attempted to ask about the blue glow the sprite had made around the arrow, but Sion cut him off, saying it was not up for discussion. Throughout the day, they found and killed 8 more wolves, all with the distinctive look of sickened animals. Once he had killed 5, he received a prompt notifying him that he had completed his quest Cleanse the Forest 1, and that he should return to the Hearthmother for his reward. Even though Hisako had only asked for 5 wolves, his second quest, Cleanse the Forest 2, required that he find out why the animals were getting sick. After making camp and spending another blessedly uneventful night, they proceeded onward. The land grew progressively rockier as they moved upriver. They were also climbing in elevation as they approached the mountains. The further up they went, the more pine-like trees were seen. They had been walking in silence for most of the morning when Sion suddenly stopped. There was a look of severity on his face that Richter had not seen before. Taking a sniff, he looked at his human companion and quietly said one word,
Goblin.
Looking back at the sprite, he mouthed back,
Goblin?
Sion nodded once and then silently melded back into the foliage. Richter moved to follow him into the denser undergrowth, leaving the relatively open space on the side of the river. It was easier to walk near the bank, but it also made them a clear and obvious target. Stopping a dozen yards into the forest, Sion turned to Richter and motioned for him to wait. The sprite quickly climbed the tree they stood beside and disappeared into the leaves above. Listening intently, Richter could hear the sprite move along the branches to the next tree, using the limbs like a canopied highway. Well, that's a new trick, he thought. Richter examined his immediate surroundings. As he looked down, he found one plant had colors that were somewhat more vibrant than those surrounding it. Reaching down, he ran his hand along its length. It had yellow flowers that shot off to the sides and a deep purple bud on top that had yet to open. As he slowed his breathing, he felt he could visualize the entire organism in his mind, not just the portion that was visible. He could feel the leaves, the flowers, and the roots. He made the connection and again instinctively knew to loosen the soil lightly around it, grasp below the level of the flowers, and then twist and pull in a clockwise direction. It easily came free from the dirt. Congratulations, you have advanced to level 2 in herb lore. Herbs are 3% more effective. Increased chance of finding higher level herbs. Congratulations, you have found tiger lily. The colors of the flower make you think of the warming heat of the sun. Pleased with himself, he laid the tiger lily to the side. After he dismissed the screens from his vision, he once again decided to wait patiently. After about an hour, he heard a rustle above him and Sion dropped to the ground. The sprite pulled a rusty knife from his belt and showed it to Richter.
I found a goblin scout. I was able to kill him quietly, but if there is one scout, then there are others. Hopefully it was just a hunting party from Azergoth Swamp, but I do not like the timing of finding that foul creature while we are hunting these sick animals. We need to hunt and destroy them before they set up an encampment. Will you fight with me?
You have been offered a quest, Cleanse the Forest 3. Sion suspects a connection between the sickness infecting the animals and the goblins. He feels that the two of you must kill the goblins that have invaded the Forest of Nadria. Reward, increased relationship with Sion, a new skill, yes or no? So the third link in the quest chain, huh? Richter had been expecting that the rabid animals were coming from a poisoned bog or a type of insect that spreads sickness. He didn't really see how the goblins could be connected, but the fact that he had gotten another quest showed there must be some relationship. It would also be great to get a new skill, whatever that would be. Maybe he could even ask for a specific skill. I said I would help cleanse the forest, and I will, Richter replied.
You must be stronger than you are, then. The damage you can cause is not enough to overcome these enemies. We must come up with something else.
Can you teach me how you make your arrows explode when they hit? Sion shook his head.
That is a race-specific skill that only the sprites have. It was a blessing of the forest and the will of nature. Humans cannot learn it.
That might not be a problem. I'm not like every other human you have met. Just try. Seeing Sion's stubborn reluctance, Richter added, Please. Sion took a deep breath and said,
I will attempt to teach you the skill if you will swear never to use it against my people.
I promise that as long as you and your people do not break faith with me, then I will act the same. Sion looked at him long and hard, but ultimately said,
Very well, I can accept that. I still do not believe this will work, but I will do my best, so listen. You must imagine your mana flowing into the arrow. As in herb lore, this is a partnership. Accept the arrow as a part of you and let your mana flow into it. Use caution, though. This skill can damage you as well. Once you have imbued the arrow, the energy cannot be taken back. It must be released. Never forget that. You must also know that the mana makes the structure of the arrow unstable. The more mana, the greater the instability, the more powerful the strike, and the less time you have to fire. Waiting too long will make the arrow explode on the string. Do not wait too long to fire, or you will suffer the effects of the explosion. Are you ready to try?
Richter was suddenly a bit less eager to do this. It sounded like Sion was saying the arrow turned into a stick of dynamite. He had to light the fuse and just hope it didn't go off too soon. Despite his misgivings, Richter knew he would try. There was no denying the power of the imbued attack. He took a deep breath and steeled himself. Richter knocked his bow and tried to imagine his mana extending from himself and into the arrow. Even after several long minutes, he met with no success. Sion saw the difficulty Richter was having and said,
Imagine the mana as a field around your body, both imperceptibly thin and massively powerful. Feel that field surround the arrow, and once it does, simply channel more power into the part of your aura that encompasses the arrow.
Trying again, he did as Sion suggested. Richter closed his eyes and let his other senses expand. He relaxed his mind in the same manner as when he used herb lore to connect with the life force of plants. Rather than trying to connect outward, though, he allowed himself to gaze inward. After a time, he felt he could see his aura as the color of sunlight, but also with streaks of a rich black, like old gold streaked with ebony. Once the visualization stayed in his mind for more than a few moments, he tried extending this field to encompass the arrow. He held the image in his head until he felt a peculiar sensation of stretching, of suddenly being a bit more. Opening his eyes, he could swear he saw a gold tinge around the arrow for the briefest second. You have learned the skill Imbue Arrow. You can now imbue arrows with part of your mana to increase the damage of that shot. This is a sub-skill of archery. Not wanting to blow up, he quickly shot the arrow at a nearby tree and ducked and covered his face. He didn't hear an explosion, but he did hear Sion laughing at him. You didn't actually put any mana into that arrow, Richter. You did manage to extend your aura, but next time let the mana flow as well. If it's any consolation, I'm sure that tree over there is thankful. Richter looked at Sion, expecting to see a disdainful gaze to go along with the sprite's teasing. For the first time, though, he saw an expression other than contempt. It was there and gone too fast to recognize, but he would have sworn it was respect if he didn't know that was impossible from the angry sprite. Imbue Arrow is a blessed skill of the forest. The fact that you have been favored to learn it may mean that you are not all bad. By the way, this is a good start, Sion said. We will rest here for the rest of the day. Practice your new skill while I prepare some poison for our arrowheads using the dark moss. He sat on the ground and pulled a small mortar and pestle from the pack he carried. He set the wooden bowl in front of him and poured a small amount of water to the bottom of the bowl. The sprite threw in some moss and began to grind it into a paste. Looking up at Richter, the sprite wolfishly bared his teeth.
Tomorrow, we hunt goblins.
Chapter 7, Day 4, Sanran 24, 15,368 ABG. They left just before dawn, stalking silently through the forest. Richter found that he startled far fewer animals since donning the wood sprite armor, though he still made considerably more noise than Sion. In comparison to before, he moved like a ghost through the trees. The night before, they had decided to follow the path Sion had taken to find the goblin scout, reasoning that this was probably the best place to start looking for the rest of the green-skinned creatures. Searching around, Sion easily found the trail again. He motioned for Richter to proceed slowly forward while he climbed into the trees and moved along in the same direction. The air smelled clean with the scent of pine needles and the brief rain that had fallen the night before. As Richter moved forward, his nose was filled with the comforting smells of nature. The sounds of the forest waking helped to calm his nerves, which had been on edge as they stalked a potentially deadly opponent. He made his way through the forest, trusting his small companion to stop him before he ran into anything dangerous. Several plants caught his eyes during the morning's march. By this point, he knew that meant they would be useful in some way. He had to pass them by, regrettably. The need for speed was all important at the current moment. His appreciation, however, for his new herb lore's skill increased. Slowly stalking through the forest for 30 to 40 minutes, he came to a halt when Sion dropped down beside him.
There are four of them up ahead, all scouts,
the sprite said softly. Moving to the left, they circled around the area Sion had indicated. When they crossed a rocky outcropping, Sion gestured that the goblins were on the other side. Looking around the corner of a small boulder, Richter got his first sight of goblins. 3.5 to 4 feet tall, each was clad in rags and ratty furs. They were green with greasy black or gray hair that sprouted in wisps plastered to their heads. Fangs protruded from their mouths in either an overbite or underbite. They each had a rusty dagger or small club and were sitting around a fire roasting what appeared to be a large fox, bickering with each other. Sion looked at Richter.
Give me a count of 50 while I move to the other side of them. Then power your arrow and hit the ugly one with the club. I haven't imbued successfully yet, Richter replied in a soft hiss. It is time to man up then, Sion said. One day, you might be good enough to sprite up, he added with a smirk. Fine, let's do this. But which one is the ugly one? Exactly, the sprite said, maintaining his smug expression, and then blended into the woods.
Clearing his mind, Richter waited patiently.
After the required time had elapsed, he knocked an arrow and extended his aura. Counting his heartbeats, he tried to let his mana flow into the arrow. A golden hue began to surround it, flickering in and out. Taking aim at the goblin whose back was to him, he let his arrow fly. His mana had not successfully filled the arrow. The golden glow went out as soon as the arrow left the string, but luckily, it still struck the goblin in the back. Despite his failure to imbue the arrow, the surprise nature of the attack still magnified the damage. The green-skinned creature fell to the ground, shrieking. The other three goblins jumped to their feet and began to move toward him, snarls on their faces. A split second later, a blue streak struck one of the goblins in the back with explosive force. His chest exploded outward, and blood spattered onto the ground in front of Richter. The blast momentarily disoriented the remaining two, creating an opportunity. A second arrow from Richter struck a goblin in the leg, while another blue streak ended the life of the last standing goblin. Before the hobbled goblin could rise again, an arrow from Richter's bow found his throat. The small creature swiftly drowned in his own black blood. Sion rushed toward the remaining goblin, sword drawn, prepared to end the fight. "Wait!" Richter shouted. With a sneer on his face, Sion asked, "Why?" "We need to know why they are here and how many there are. I can understand what he is saying. We just need to get him to talk."
"That won't be a problem,"
Sion said with a grim voice. After the interrogation, they finally silenced the goblin. Digesting what the ugly green creature had shared, they looked at each other, daunted by the task in front of them. These four were simply the tip of the spear. A large company of goblins had made their way into the forest of Nadria by a goblin chieftain that the scout had only called Big Red. Richter's comment that Cinnamon was always troublesome was met by only a confused glance from Sion. He shook his head. The ignorance of the sprite was causing his companion to miss out on comedic genius. Sion had been more than surprised by what they had learned. He explained that goblins did not typically band together in large raids. Apparently, the green-skinned humanoids were naturally combative. Usually, they could not be held together in groups larger than 8 or 12 before they fell to infighting. It was true that there were large enclaves of goblins in the swamps and mountains, but Sion said they were typically lawless settlements where murder was a common pastime. It was almost unheard of for large numbers of goblins to cooperate when away from these settlements. Sion admitted that occasionally, a leader strong enough or vicious enough rose to power and forced minor tribes to band together. What was concerning was that it seemed this was what they faced. Apparently, this Big Red had forced several smaller bands to serve him. The exact number, they still didn't know. Not for lack of trying or unwillingness of the scout to cooperate, but large numbers had simply been beyond the intellect of the goblin. The creature's counting system had been limited to 1, 2, lots, and then lots and lots. Apparently, the goblin chief had gathered lots and was in the forest searching a dungeon for an item of power. It would apparently make Big Red strong enough to gather lots and lots of goblins. The mystery of the rabid wolves was still just that, a mystery, but the goblin had revealed that there was a magic user that worked closely with the chief. The scout hadn't been able to describe what type of magic the mage could employ, but Sion told Richter that goblin mages were often involved with death or dark magic. Richter looked at Sion. "Do you have any idea where this dungeon could be?" The goblin scout had just indicated it was somewhere north of their location. Shaking his head, the sprite replied, "We are getting closer to the boundaries of the forest. The human kingdom of Eve lies several weeks' journey to the west. The serrated mountains are a week's journey north. The Azergoth swamp is a slightly farther journey to the northeast. And the Firetip mountains are to the southeast. My people do not come this far north normally. We prefer the deep forest. The goblin indicated it came from somewhere to the north and east, however. Let's just start moving in that direction. If the band is as big as he described, I will find traces of them."
Searching the bodies, they left the knives and clubs as useless. They did find 3 silver and 7 copper coins in various pouches, however. Sion had no interest in money, it seemed, and he motioned for Richter to keep them. Tying one of the pouches to his waist, Richter somehow felt better having money in his proverbial pocket again.
even if he did have to shake bits of goblin off the pouch. He smiled, thinking to himself, this Georgia boy just might turn into a cutthroat capitalist, literally. When the land had just been a game, one copper had been the equivalent of one U.S. dollar. A silver was worth $10, and a gold coin was a cool C-note. If the ratio stayed the same, it meant he had just killed 4 people for $37. Richter wasn't sure that his mom would be proud, but what was done was done. Zion took the lead again, and the two men walked north through the forest. They kept the river in sight, but stayed to the deeper woods, reasoning that they could be running into more bands of goblins if they were moving in the right direction. While they had dealt with that band of scouts with little difficulty, Zion assured him that those would be the weakest of the opponents they would face. As they traveled, Richter continued focusing his aura around the arrow, but didn't try to actually invest any mana. He was extremely cognizant of Sion's warning of exploding his own arrows. The act of extending his aura was easier than the day before, but it still remained to be seen if he could perform under pressure. For a moment, he wished that he had more of the blue forest berries to help his concentration. After a moment of introspection and pride, however, he decided he did not want to rely on anything small and blue to help his performance. At least not yet. Throughout the day, they encountered a few more wolves, which they quickly dispatched. Zion also detected a band of 6 goblins, thankfully before the creatures saw them. They decided to bypass this group and stayed concealed in the underbrush while they walked by. 4 of the goblins looked like the scouts they had already encountered, but there were 2 slightly larger goblins in the group with rusty cutlasses and leather breastplates. Zion identified these as goblin warriors. Apparently, they were stronger, meaner, and slightly smarter. The 2 companions waited about 10 minutes after the patrol passed before continuing on. Even though it was a small delay, they were both heartened by the proof that they were moving in the right direction. They made camp for the night at the base of a large tree, deciding to forego a fire. The low-lying shrubs, combined with the natural concealment of their armor, made detection extremely unlikely. They passed the night without incident. Zion continued to slowly lead the way for the next 3 days. Over that time, they noticed goblin patrols with increasing regularity, always between 4 and 7 strong. They stayed hidden in the trees each time until the goblins passed. It was slow work, but it did let him increase his stealth skill to level 3. It seemed strange to him that Zion did not have a stealth skill, but he assumed it must be because the sprite had a concealment ability. Early on the 3rd day, Zion came back from ranging ahead and told Richter that he had found the main encampment. It was in a ruin about 15 minutes away. Moving even slower now that they were so close, they creeped along until activity could clearly be heard. Climbing into a tall tree to the south of the ruin, they were rewarded with a clear view. The remains of white stone walls could be seen ringing a compound the size of a large town. Richter saw dilapidated dwellings made of the same stone scattered about with grass growing up unchecked. It was clear that whomever had lived here had been gone for decades, if not centuries. The village sat on a small plateau halfway up a large hill. Mountains rose high above the village to the north. Just to the north, a waterfall fell down a cliff face, creating a lake in the hills beyond the village. That lake, in turn, spilled down along its southern edge, creating a second waterfall that formed a small river to the west of the ruins. A second tributary came from the base of the hill. This small waterway extended back into the cliff face through a large crack in the stone. The 2 ribbons of water joined and then traced their way back into the forest. Presumably, the small river rejoined the larger one they had been following for the past several days. Near the back of the compound rose an isolated shelf of stone. A rise in the land created an easy slope up to the stone, ending in a large cave face. Arrayed at the bottom of this slope was where they found the goblin camp. Dozens of goblins huddled around campfires, arguing, fighting, defecating, and fornicating wherever they wished. Richter was no cryptozoologist, but it didn't seem like there were any girl goblins down there.
Well, he thought, as long as they were making love on each other, they weren't making war on him, so play on, playa. Despite some of the lewd acts they were observing, what was truly offensive was the smell. Even at a distance, the odor was staggering. It was like a pig farm and a frat bathroom had a baby, and then that baby ate expired Velveeta. Choking back nausea, he and Sion backed away into the forest again. They walked for several minutes until finding a stand of close-growing trees that easily hid them from view.
"How do we do this?" Richter asked once they were safely away. "There is no way we can fight that many at once," Sion replied, catching his meaning. "We must slowly whittle them down."
"How?" Richter asked with a faint tone of frustration.
"Their patrols are already too strong. With the element of surprise, we can maybe destroy one or two patrols before they become wary. But that will still leave dozens of goblins."
"Do you want to quit?"
Sion asked caustically.
"No. I have already told you I'm committed to finishing this, but we need a good plan."
Sion looked frustrated as well, but did not offer an argument. They sat there thinking as the sun passed overhead. No solution presented itself for long hours. Evening was approaching, and Richter was getting up to relieve himself when, looking around the trees which hid them, several plants caught his attention. One reminded him of the dark moss.
"How much poison can you make, and how potent is it?" Richter asked.
Sion thought for a moment.
"All we have with us is the dark moss. It causes weakness and dazes creatures when struck with an arrow coated in its extract. Even if we could shoot every goblin, though, the poison would only kill the weakest among them hours later, and by that time the rest would be hunting us."
"What if we got them to eat it?"
"They had that massive pot cooking in the middle of their camp. If we could poison their food, it might give us the edge we need." Sion scratched his face thoughtfully.
"Perhaps. But to make a truly potent poison, I would need a few other ingredients. Let me search the forest. Stay here."
After the sprite had disappeared into the greenery, Richter looked around and spent some time picking the few plants that caught his attention. He was ultimately able to pick 3 arrowroot flowers and 2 forest sage, which gave him feelings of stamina and health, respectively. Afterwards, he sat and focused upon his aura manipulation, trusting in his camouflage to protect him. A few patrols came close enough for him to hear them, but no one came close to his hiding place. Several hours passed as he meditated, awaiting his companion's return. When Sion did come back to the copse of trees, night had fallen. The now familiar vicious grin was back on the sprite's face. "I assume you found what you were looking for?"
"And so much more," the sprite said, excited. "Nightshade, Deathflower, and Shadowbane. We will melt those foul-smelling interlopers from the inside out."
With that pleasant image, Sion immediately took out his mortar and pestle to begin preparing the poison. Richter wasn't sure at first, but the bloodthirsty Disneyland reject was actually humming. Chapter 8, Day 8, Sanren 28, 15,368 ABG. Sion worked through the night and into the next day, storing his poison in small clay jugs covered in animal hide that he took from his pack. It took several tries to successfully make the doses of poison, and Richter grew used to Sion cursing expansively. Ultimately, only a small quantity of poison was produced, but Sion assured him it would be enough. Finishing in the late afternoon, the sprite sat back, massaging his tired arms. Richter decided it was time to share the last phase of his plan.
"Killing these lesser goblins is probably not going to change much. We need to kill the chief, and it seems reasonable to assume his magician may be responsible for the rabid wolves, so he will have to die as well. Those two need to be our goal above anything else."
Sion nodded.
"While I was collecting the herbs, I was able to observe their camp several times. I never saw a red goblin come out, but when they all began eating, a few goblins went inside the cave with bowls of food. All the other goblins ate after that. They were probably bringing food to their chief and his pet magician. We need to get the poison in their wretched stew just before they prepare to eat their evening meal to catch as many of them as possible. There will still be the patrols that are out of camp at dinner time, though. They won't be sickened, but we will have a window to act. Now, It is time for you to tell me the last part of your plan. How do we get the poison into the pot?